switching costs from one program to another are too high? Because I think Mr. Montoro was not saying there's not competition. He was saying that, there are high switching costs, and you have to retrain people and so forth. These are features of this market. The companies are trying to compete in this market and to have to expand the category of situations in which circumvention can be accomplished, and this method of enforcing their licenses would be taken away from them. If you're assuming it's a situation which they are ready, willing, and able to solve the problem, perhaps at a cost that people don't like, and perhaps in a time frame that people don't like, I think that's a huge step that I would encourage you not to take unless you have a stronger record than you have here.
Well, let me address that to you, Joe, that it was my understanding in the past and maybe still the case that when there is some circumvention in order to fix for somebody, that there was the inclusion of a technological protection measure on the fix so that there was an effort by you to prevent this from, to basically replace the status quo, to limit what harm could come of that. Is that still the case? And is that something that would be an acceptable thing to think about in terms of being included within the exemption?
Well, I can only speak for my company. And we certainly don't sell the hardware replacement of a dongle itself because that's patented by the other companies. So I can't sell the exact same thing. What we do is we write virtual software that has all the functions that the hardware piece has. And in doing so, then it provides all those same functions. And when I sell software, typically it would be copy protected so that once the dongle replacement driver is installed, and we do it as a driver in the operating system, that driver goes back and we put certain measures onto the hard drive that our software checks. That's like a license manager that comes up to say that this software is licensed too, and to do our share and trying to keep the copyright owner protected as well. But to make it actually a part of the exemption, I don't know if that's practical because not all products can be done that way. If it's a device that's obsolete, then I don't think it would come into question. But if it's a incompatibility issue on something current, sometimes we're not able, we may have to actually patch the software program instead of actually create the driver. That was the case when we did work for the INS, the Immigration Naturalization Service, back in 2003.
One of the things in that response that you're creating in many cases software, so you're independently created computer program essentially. To what extent, and you probably don't have this before you, but I don't wonder if you've thought or if your lawyers have thought about, I can't remember our analysis on this in the past, but to what extent might 1201F and the reverse engineering and some of the other provisions in there provide some of the authorization to do what you're doing, since you're creating essentially an independently created computer program?
I'm sorry, the 1201F is the reverse engineering section?
1201 is the reverse engineering section.
I don't have a comment on that at the moment, sir.
Okay, we may have a question later for you on that. One other thing in terms of and the way dongles came up during this proceeding previously was we were talking about authentication servers, and I'd just be interested in hearing to what extent dongles are still and other sort of hardware locks are the prevalent form of protecting software, and to what extent have you seen that this is moving, that the industries are starting to move away from dongles to remote authentication of that software?
In the general marketplace, I've heard Microsoft is going to stop delivering boxed software to stores and be doing downloads. But in the industry that I work with, or the industries that I work with, typically the newer software would come out. This is still high-end software, so they're still getting deliverables, and I think the lock devices will still continue for some time. And then again, also, we have the people that have already purchased software along with those locked devices and the companies that have gone out of business and or merged. And there's still a reason for an exemption due to the fact that companies do go out of business and are bought and sold.
So to what extent is the problem that is faced in this area due to sort of legacy systems, and to what extent is this with currently produced software or recently produced software?
I'd say approximately maybe 30% are legacy items. Then about 70% would be really other items.
Would be what?
Others.
I'm sorry.
I was just saying others.
If we consider a legacy type as very old hardware, very old software, I think it's about 30%. And if we talk about software that's current, I think we have something. Even the example that I gave a few minutes ago, actually, we're talking about these dongles that were only a few years old. Now, this is legacy, I suppose, at this point in time also. So the actual numbers may be reversed. It may be more like 80% that because these programs and software are currently available still.
And are they still putting out serial port hardware locks?
Parallel port. Not the major companies, not the Aladdins, not the SafeNets. There are still some in the marketplace from other companies.
Okay. No? All right. Yes?
I'd like to get a better understanding of the new language you're proposing. Specifically the language that relates to hardware or software incompatibilities or dongles that require obsolete systems or obsolete hardware as a condition of access. Mm-hmm. All that new language, is that all relating to the same problem? In other words, when you're talking about hardware or software incompatibilities, are you talking about obsolete systems and hardware, or are those two different problems?
Typically, it's the same problem, and it may actually have already been accounted for by Ms. Peterson and also what Steve had said. As far as how you phrased the initial language a few years ago, with the definition of obsolete if something is how it refers to the machine or the system if it's not able to render it. And we may have already, like Steve was saying, it may have already been addressed, and it may not even be an issue any longer if we take that into account.
When you do what you do, when you perform your service, are you in any way doing anything with the original computer program itself?
Most of the time, no.
Okay.
Mostly what we do is create a device driver that's independently created that has no code whatsoever from the other product itself. No code that's similar at all to the actual dongle itself. And then we create the way a dongle essentially would work is that it comes up with it asks a question to the software will ask a question to the dongle. The dongle will reply with an answer to the software program. If those two things match, then it's allowed to continue and work. If the question happens to be what's 2 + 1, and it's looking for 3, and then I could add what's 1 + 1 + 1, and that's 3, and we'd come up with the same result. So that's how we're actually doing that, and mostly it's through the device driver.
Okay. And I'm sure we've covered this ground in past rulemaking hearings when you appeared before us, but just to be clear, you do understand that to the extent we can do anything for you, it has to do with Section 1201A1, which has to do with the act of circumvention. We can do nothing here that addresses anything you might do which could be construed as offering to the public a service that circumvents.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Then thank you very much. We may have further questions, and we will resume at 1 o'clock.
Thank you again.
Thank you.